Hello, I'm Joe Anglis and welcome to the Bid Food Talking Food Podcast. If you listened to our last episode, you may be a little bit confused since this was supposed to be part two of our trends for 2020. However, due to all that is happening in the market, we've decided to postpone that to a time that will be more suitable. Instead, we'll of course be talking about the impact of COVID-19. This is something that has completely shaken the market, leaving many questions unanswered. This series from now on will solely focus on supporting you at this tough time, with advice and tips from experts in our business, customers and key people in the industry. Today's focus is all about the impact of takeaway food and delivery. This was a market that was already booming before coronavirus, but the opportunity has grown even more now. Our way of recording, as you can probably imagine, is all very different at this time around. Instead of recording at our head office in Slough, everyone featured today will be recording remotely. It's quite a strange feeling. My co-host joining me today is my boss, Gemma Benford, who is our Head of Customer and Channel Marketing. We will then be joined by Chris Wolfenden, who is a GM at Wimpy, and also our Category Manager for Catering Supplies, Michaela Bateman. The aim of the episode is to share key insights, learnings, ideas and future predictions to help you with preparing a strong takeaway or delivery offering in a challenging market. Let's get it started. First up, I'd like to welcome Gemma from Her Kitchen to the podcast. Hi, Gemma.
Hi, Joe. Yes, I'm in my kitchen. I have been working in my kitchen for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks maybe. Just to prove I'm in my kitchen, here is my electric whisk.
I don't even have this one for that. So clearly you're enjoying time in lockdown. How are you finding it?
I'm doing okay, thanks, Joe. I've been doing a bit more baking, which is nice. Made some muffins, didn't have any eggs, tried to use flaxseed, absolute disaster, went in the bin, so won't bother with those again. But yeah, all in all, not too bad.
So obviously today we're talking about delivery and takeaway market specifically. But what was the story of the market before lockdown?
Yeah, the market was in a really strong place already. About half the nation were active users of food delivery. I was just having a look at a stat from MCA on that. Predominantly the younger generation, and they were ordering online. But it just shows that actually it's not new news for consumers. People use takeaway and delivery because they're either looking for a treat or they might be too tired to cook.
Now with lockdown, obviously, has changed quite a lot. How have you seen the market change?
Outlets have had to adapt quicker than ever. It's been fantastic to see so much innovation coming through in the industry with outlets that maybe weren't already doing takeaway, now offering that as a kind of opportunity to keep their business ticking over. There have been a couple of examples from where I live where I've seen the businesses that I use on a regular basis, like my local pub. They now do a Sunday lunch to go. You can order your alcohol with that as well. They also have an extensive dessert menu, so that's brilliant. They'll deliver to your house. Same thing with my local coffee shop. Used to love going in there at the weekends to have my coffee, read the paper. Can't do that at the moment, but they've been really successful in setting up an order online service. So yeah, brilliant.
That sounds great. So what have the big chains been doing?
We're seeing that some of the major outlets had closed their door at the start of lockdown, but it's really encouraging to see that they're now starting to reopen, albeit cautiously. And I think that now the government have outlined their roadmap to get us out of lockdown. This is encouraging for a lot of customers in the out-of-home industry, as they now have a much clearer picture on when they can start to get their businesses back open again, albeit that they will still only be able to offer a takeaway service or a sit-down service if it's a socially distanced sit-down service.
That's great. That's some really good insight there. Now to hear from one of our customers, Wimpy, who have successfully adapted their takeaway offer since the outbreak of COVID-19. Gemma and I are joined by Chris Wolfenden, who is a GM at Wimpy, who are one of our oldest customers. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Where are you joining us from today?
I'm actually in our boardroom at the office.
So you're one of the very few still in the office, are you?
Yes, I am. We've just got a couple of us who are sort of heading up the office. I'm upstairs, the other person's downstairs, so it's really forming the base of the business at the moment.
Lots of social distancing there then.
Yeah, no problem at all with that.
Now, talking about obviously coronavirus there, but how has your business had to adapt since the outbreak?
The biggest change is the fact that, you know, now our franchisees are really operating takeaway and or home delivery. The predominant basis of the Wimpy business up till COVID struck us, we're a table service business. So the biggest adaption is the switch to takeaway home delivery. We've been using our partners, delivery partners, Just Eat, Uber Eats, Deliveroo. That has been the biggest switch for our business.
And what's been successful for you, Chris, with that?
The biggest truth is that our franchisees have been absolute stars. So right from the start, so from lockdown, 23rd of March, we had a number of restaurants that remained open. And on that basis, as of, I think, the end of last week, 68% of our estates still open. That number is increasing all the time. But really, it's our franchisees, our communication with our franchisees, flexibility has really sort of come into its own in adapting to not only a whole new set of rules and regulations, but effectively a new, albeit hopefully temporary, business model, which is pure takeaway and delivery.
That's really interesting to see how you changed your model. I guess on the other hand, how are you seeing customers' purchasing behaviour and patterns changing?
I think in the main, we've seen a significant increase in our delivery business. The customers are placing orders throughout the day. We're obviously seeing peak times in some restaurants. We're seeing breakfast peaks, but we're definitely getting those, the day parts, as it were, those breakfast, lunch, and evening. The majority of our delivery business was mainly evening, but now really it's spread across the whole day.
So Chris, it's really interesting that you mentioned breakfast, because pre-COVID that was one of the day parts that was seeing the biggest growth in terms of frequency and customer spend. So what impact are you seeing now on that day part?
We launched a Wimpy Muffin range on our current menu, so that launched in June last year. So we are seeing that customers are, where it's available, because it's not necessarily available in every single location depending on opening times, but we've definitely seen an increase in the sales there. So customers are taking up the offer of a deliverable breakfast, which is something that we hadn't seen too much of on a national picture. Certain restaurants were doing fairly well at that, but it really did vary location by location. But looking at our sales figures of those breakfast products, customers have definitely turned to Wimpy for that breakfast offer.
So you talked about muffins there, but that really probably goes hand in hand with people really wanting grab and go options now more than ever.
Definitely, the muffin range is tailored to a grab and go offer, and in fact the takeaway menu that we're running is tailored to much more towards the grab and go offer. We're also looking to improve upon the menu, not only for the customer but also for the speed of operation in our kitchens.
Yeah, I think that's going to be absolutely key, isn't it? That outlets will need to refine their menus. How would you suggest people approach that?
I think that the key to it is flexibility. There are no problems. There are only solutions. It generates opportunity. So the rules can change almost daily, and everybody has to adapt.
We talked about adapting for businesses. what would you recommend for businesses looking to adapt their offering now to a takeaway only?
I think that obviously I mentioned the flexibility is one of the most critical things, really, no matter what your size. Adapting to the new rules hasn't always been easy, but you know, talk to your staff. Talk to, you know, we're talking to staff, we're talking to franchisees, we're talking to teams in the restaurant, and really keeping those communication channels open and being prepared to adapt.
So Chris, even pre-COVID, one of the potential challenges with offering a takeaway service is that you don't get the opportunity to sell across each of the menu parts and even into drinks. What have you done at Wimpy to counteract that?
Really, there's two answers to this. One, with takeaway, because obviously our businesses, or some of our businesses, are open for walk-in takeaway. So on that side of things, the customer is dealing face-to-face, albeit 2 meters apart at least, with somebody behind the till. So there is an upsell opportunity there. Obviously, we've got sides on the menu, we've got drinks, you know, we can upgrade drinks to shakes, we can turn burgers, you know, into a complete meal, essentially a burger, chips and a drink. So on the takeaway side, nothing really has changed there, because, you know, our expectation is that whoever is serving on that till point is going to ask those, is going to effectively look to upsell. On the delivery side, obviously that contact is far removed, because on delivery, it's all working through essentially the internet, or, you know, whether that's on an app or whether that's somebody sitting at home on a laptop or a PC. But the way we've designed our menu with the operators that we are with, does allow us to put in certain ways of sort of designing how the order flows. So, for example, if you're ordering a quarter pounder with cheese, it will drop down onto a menu. You know, do you want to make it a meal? So it'll suggest, it's basically going to do the suggestive selling for you, in that it will try and sell you the chips and the drink and bundle it into a price. So I think that the design of that menu is very, very important, because there's no physical contact between anyone in the restaurant and that end user customer who's using that app.
Yeah, I think that's so key, isn't it? That the design of the menu's got to be right, the flow of ordering has got to be right, so that you're not missing any of the potential add-on opportunities there may be.
That's right. But yeah, we launched delivery in 2018, so we've been doing it a while. We've made some significant learnings, and yeah, we're constantly looking at the way our menu appears online. And you know, we do change it every so often. So again, it goes back to this whole flexibility. You know, just because you've done it and it's working doesn't mean it can't be improved.
So Chris, what are your predictions for consumer expectations after coronavirus?
I think ultimately it's all going to come down to the advice we receive from the government, and until that's published, it's difficult to say. I do think, however, that social distancing will become a necessary part of the way that we do business for the foreseeable future. One of the surveys I read fairly early on in lockdown was a bunch of adults surveyed, and you know, in excess of 54, I think it was either 53 or 54%, stated that they, you know, they really were looking, you know, to get back into restaurants and enjoy that experience. As to what that experience looks like when restaurants open, until those rules come through, we don't know. So, you know, it is going to be different, but ultimately, you know, as a brand, Wimpy, we're going to be there for them, the same as we've been really since 1954. Albeit, we're going to have to follow a different rule set for a while. So, you know, the customer expectation is really going to in some ways be set by the rules that are put upon us when we can physically open the restaurants.
And what about in terms of food and food trends, Chris? Are you expecting to see any changes there in what your customers will be looking for as we move to a life post-lockdown?
So food trends are still going to be there. And Wimpy as a brand is always looking at those food trends. They're not going to go away. Whether they increase, decrease, or remain the same, it'll be very interesting because obviously people have had more time to think about things, more time to read about things, possibly be influenced, or maybe even change their minds. So we'll just have to see what happens with those food trends. Again, we come back to flexibility. Wimpy will look at those, and we will be looking to adapt some of those food trends onto our menus. But you know, if we had a crystal ball and we knew exactly what was going to happen, it would make life a lot easier. But I think that our customer base currently is probably going to be happier about the ability to actually get out and about and get into our restaurants. And then from that, and certainly from customer feedback, we will be able to really, as a brand, assess where we need to go with regards to some of those food trends.
Chris, that was really interesting to hear what Wimpy have done. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Now, Gemma and I are joined by Michaela Bateman, who is our category manager for catering supplies, to talk about the importance of getting packaging right. Hi, Michaela.
Hello.
So where are you joining us from today?
Well, obviously, I'm working from home like we all are. So I'm at the moment in our kind of spare room, stroke study, stroke playroom. So I have three children as well who are in the house somewhere, trying to be occupied and keep quiet while I do this recording.
So could you tell us a bit about your role at Bidfood?
So I'm the category manager for non-foods, and it covers three main categories. So food to go packaging, hygiene, paper, which is both hygiene and tableware. So I work very closely with the buyers to ensure that we have products that are required for our customer base. And we'll obviously also look continuously on innovation that we can show our customers.
What were some of the key trends in packaging pre-COVID?
Well, pre-COVID, so there's been a continual rise of food to go packaging demands for several years now as the home delivery market has been growing. So I think looking at MCA figures, it's now worth about 18.4 billion. It was worth in 2019, and that's up 18% year on year. So It has just been continually growing. It's when people are busier, people want something convenient. Most of this market has been the kind of younger generation, so 18 to 34 year olds. And I think when you look at packaging, I think you need to kind of look at two different things. So you like look at the product, but also the material of the product. So all trends are really led by consumer demand. And we've seen a huge increase in the kind of breakfast and snacking demands, I think, within whole food service. And I think that's the same for packaging and food to go. So products such as small pots have seen an increase in this category. And this is also where we've seen the most kind of innovation. So different sizes of pots, wider pots, and also inserts to accommodate multiple ingredients. So for example, people are eating yogurts, but they want a bit of cereal in the yogurt. So there'll be an insert with granola or a fruit and yogurt combination or protein kind of pot. So all things kind of snacking, it has been the kind of trend within food to go. But I think the biggest trend is on material. So I think eco-friendly packaging has seen a big rise for a while now. And I think especially in 2019/20, just pre-corona, is that we saw people's thinking with the plastic crisis coming on board. So in our sector, the issues around recycling plastic lined coffee cups, straws and plastic bags have been regularly covered by documentaries and press. So it's been high on the agenda, both on the legislative side and kind of consumer side. So much so that even straws were going to be banned in April this year, but because of the corona crisis, that has now been put back because the demand from healthcare sector has been so big on straws for obvious reasons.
You talked about it a little bit there, but how have you seen ranging change since COVID-19's outbreak? I guess there's a huge demand for packaging due to the increase in takeaway delivery options.
So I think since the corona crisis happened, food to go packaging has definitely seen a change. I think we're all looking at new ways of shopping our food with the restrictions in supermarkets. I think as the lockdown continues and life is not looking like it was going back to normal for a while, I do believe that the delivery market will continue to grow strongly. So many of our countries, pubs, bars, restaurants and cafes have already initiated home deliveries or takeaway services, and they're finding new ways of keeping trade alive. But I think they'll be looking at food to go packaging. The first most important thing is hygiene. So I think for obvious reasons, consumers are going to feel the need to know that everything is safe and prepared in a hygienic way. So I think this will affect the type of packaging that's being used. So containers, for example, need to be properly sealed. And I think there'll be a big increase in, for example, tamper-proof labels. So this kind of ensures the customer that nobody's opened the container. I think the second part is obviously fit for purpose and functional. So the packaging needs to serve the purpose of what food is being delivered. So obviously looking at holding the food at the temperature that it needs to be served at, so whether that's hot or cold food, but also looking at it needs to look nice when it arrives. And then the third kind of biggest factor is environmental impact. I think before corona, we were as consumers very conscious about the environment and not being able to recycle where possible or not use a single-use packaging as much. I think, unfortunately, a little bit with the corona crisis, I think plastic has come back. I think even when you look at, for example, click and collect deliveries, we now are getting all our food deliveries delivered in bags. So plastic has gone a little bit out of the window. But I do think once we are over this, it will come back. And I think once people are seeing the whole world kind of improving from us being in lockdown and not driving so much, they'll look at environmental factors as well with things like packaging. Finally, I think kind of a nice thing to have is still branding. I think we all like a brand and we all have kind of that emotional attachment to certain products. So I think, you know, where possible, I think, you know, look at your branding and see whether you can add it on a napkin or something. You know, something simple just to add that kind of last bit of personal touch.
With those three really key factors that you mentioned, Michaela, just then, are there any products in our range that you think really, really tick all of the boxes?
Well, obviously that's a hard question because we've got such a big range, but I think there are a few kind of highlights that are worth mentioning. So I think just before the corona crisis, we did launch two ranges that were around the eco kind of friendly products. One is the wheat fibre products. So we have some burger box and a clamshell box and some disposable plates in this range. And I do feel this is a range that's truly innovative. So these are made out of wheat fibre. So it's made out of a byproduct. So the wheat is not specifically grown to produce these items. The material is also unbleached and it's chemical free. It can be composted as well as recyclable. You can also put it in the microwave and it's fridge safe. So these products tick all the boxes for any food service delivery. We also launched Go Green Cups range. So these are cups are made out of 100% rPET. So rPET is a material that's not only recyclable, but it's circular. So that means that those products will become cups again. And this is quite unique for plastic, because historically plastic in food packaging wouldn't become packaging again, if you see what I mean. It will become park benches or playgrounds for the kids. So, you know, it's not truly recyclable. So I do think this material will become really important after Corona, because I do think plastic will stay, but we will find new ways of making sure that it's environmentally friendly as well.
So it's obvious that packaging plays a fundamental role as part of the overall experience for the consumer. Have you got any tips or suggestions on how caterers can leave that lasting impression with the consumer?
Well, I think it's going to become even more important that when consumers order a takeaway, that they want the full experience. So we all know how it feels at the moment, having to cook meal, having to clean up. We just don't want to do any of that. So I think a nice way of making sure that the whole package is completed is by adding, for example, cutlery or napkins, and these could be branded, or especially the napkins, which again adds that personal touch.
It sounds like it's going to be such a key category going forward. Obviously really, really important for outlets that are adapting to offer a takeaway only menu. Do you have any predictions for the changes that we will see in packaging in the future?
I think it will be mainly down to material. So I think environmental factors have been very much in the agenda previously or pre-corona. I think they will still stay. But I think, for example, plastic, which has had quite a bad reputation, will come back in certain elements, because hygiene is, to be honest, the new priority. So that will supersede anything. There are other ways in plastic that we are innovating. So, for example, with rPET plastic, which is a plastic that is truly recyclable. So it actually recycles back into pots. So if you have, for example, a salad pot that's made out of rPET, it can then be recycled and made back into a salad pot, which historically hasn't happened with plastics before.
Michaela, thank you very much for your time. That was excellent.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
We'll be back in a moment. So to wrap things up, I guess further to what we've discussed throughout this podcast episode, what would you say are the main sort of takeaways, excuse the pun, from this?
Ha ha. Yeah, I mean... I certainly took from listening to Chris at Wimpy that there needs to be a continual adaptation and flexibility from the sector. You know, we're all in this together. We've all got to find new ways to operate. I think keeping it simple is a really key thing. I think that as it's unlikely that consumers will regain confidence overnight. So delivering really a consolidated menu that celebrates what you're famous for, just do that and kind of do it well is really important. I think Michaela's top three factors about hygiene, fit for purpose and sustainability, absolutely imperative when you're looking at making packaging decisions. So I think finally, it's about selling across a whole menu as well, and not just thinking about lunch and dinner. You know, we've heard that breakfast continues to grow, so think about breakfast as an opportunity. Also looking at the other menu parts, snacking, drinks, sides, desserts, potentially coffee as well. Think about all of those to really secure the highest customer spend per visit.
As the Prime Minister recently outlined, we know the hospitality sector won't be opening back up until sort of July time, and it needs to be in a safe environment. So Gemma, what do you think the future holds for the delivery and takeaway market?
I think it's pretty clear that we're going to continue to see growth in the food to go market, and certainly continual growth through the sectors that aren't traditionally takeaway led, so pubs, restaurants, even hotels potentially, and also work canteens. There was a recent business leader survey by CGA, and actually they have predicted that 33% of business leaders expect to be improving their takeaway service and offer. So yeah, it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time today, Gemma, and thank you for being such a great co-host.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thank you to all of our guests today, Chris, Michaela, and my co-host Gemma for joining me, in which is a very different recording to what I ever expected to do. We have a number of tools available providing the latest information, ideas, and support to help your business through COVID-19. This includes blogs on adapting to takeaway, our food delivery made simple page, and our Helping You with Food to Go brochure. All of this can be found on our website, bidfood.co.uk. In the meantime, if you're feeling kind enough, please subscribe, review, and then share our series on whatever platform you use to listen to these on. It will mean more people can listen and learn about our take on the latest in food service. Until next time, goodbye and stay safe.